Good morning, boys and girls. It's a lovely morning. I hope you're rejoicing, and it's lovely to see the sun shining. It reminds us that there is a day coming when there will be a shining of a much greater sun, the Sun of Righteousness. One of the titles of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus, and we should ever keep this before us, the Lord Jesus is coming again. You should live with that truth before your eyes, before your heart. Now we're turning to the psalm that we just sung. So open your Bible at Psalm 100. Now we're nearing the end of school year. I have only four more assemblies in the will of the Lord. And I have chosen this psalm because it's short, and I trust that I'm able to get it finished within those four assemblies that remain. For me, we're going to start with the verse 1 in our study today. I have entitled this little study of Psalm 100, The Day the Whole World Will Sing. The Day the Whole World Will Sing. And we're introduced to that singing in the very first verse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm going to emphasize something that I have many times mentioned to you. Notice, take note of every word. Listen again as I read that verse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. This is a call addressed to all in the world to join in praising the Lord and making a joyful noise unto Him. It's important that we notice this, because this psalm has been sung by hundreds of millions of God's people, many of whom have not noticed carefully every word in this very first verse. The reason I say that is that this is one of the best loved psalms in the Bible, and yet I think it's sadly misunderstood by all too many of God's people. You see, this psalm is a psalm that is referring to the future. I'm striving to press home upon you just what this psalm is all about. Let me start with one thought. Here is a call for worldwide praise of God. It's a call to everyone that lives on the face of the earth to praise the Lord. And it's because of that, and for that reason, I believe this is a millennial psalm. In other words, it's one that will be sung when the Lord Jesus comes again. Because there will be such a change take place throughout the nations of the world that it will be proper and valid to invite everyone in the world to join in praising God. And it's not until the Lord Jesus returns and will bring about a great change in the earth that we can expect all the nations of the earth to sing unto the Lord. When the Savior returns again, here's what's going to happen. Revelation chapter 11 and the verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and the verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. That's the last trumpet. And you know the last trumpet signals the end of this age and the beginning of the new age. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now there are those who would say, but so the Lord Jesus reigns today. Well, that's true, and yet it's not true. It's true that the Lord Jesus is sovereign over everything. But there are many places where he is not accepted as king. Maybe in your heart this morning, he's not accepted. So he doesn't reign over you. You don't walk in obedience to him. You don't honor him. You're not saved. And how many people are there in this world today who are not saved and over whom the Savior does not reign? But there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will take to himself power and authority over all nations. At the moment, nations are permitted of God to do many things that are not in keeping with the will of God. But there's a day coming when that will end, when Jesus comes again. And when Jesus comes again, there's going to be great spiritual changes on this earth. And it will then be very right for us to sing, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." For all the earth will see things differently when Jesus comes again. Then the earth will, to a very, very great degree, honour the Lord Jesus, and because of that will be capable of making a joyful and glad and wonderful shout of praise. This world today, you know, the Bible tells us, lies in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 19 tells us what is the spiritual state of the world today. John writes, 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, "And we know," something that every Christian surely knows, "that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Those who are experts in the Greek language would tell us that you could actually translate that end phrase there, "the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one," which is in keeping with what we are told by the Lord Jesus, that the devil is the god of this world. And while the devil is the god of this world, and this whole world lies in wickedness, you cannot expect it to sing praise unto the Lord. That's why I say, I believe this to be a millennial psalm, one that addresses how things will be after Jesus comes. Then we can expect the world to begin to sing unto the Lord. It's impossible for the world today to respond, to obey what is said in verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." All the mouth of the wicked man can do by way of making a noise is to blaspheme the Lord, deny the Lord, reject the Lord. If I may turn to that same epistle, 1 John, and this time it's the chapter 2. There John tells us in greater detail just how the world is and the state that it's in. 1 John, the chapter 2, he says in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So John says, there are many Antichrists in the world today. That is, there are many who oppose Christ and who are followed, obeyed by the people. And if that is so, it's a waste of time for us to expect the world unitedly to begin to sing praise unto God. It's worshipping the devil. It'll not worship the Lord. It'll not sing unto the Lord, this world of ours, until Jesus comes again. I didn't sing unto the Lord until on the 5th of April 1964 the Lord Jesus came to me, conquered me, brought me into subjection, and saved my soul by his grace and power. And not until that happens on a mighty scale at the return of Christ can we expect the world to sing. So as I say, I believe that this is a millennial psalm. Secondly, notice that the word translated, joyful noise, means triumphant shout. A triumphant shout. Listen to me, boys and girls. You live in a day in which when you go to church, it's very unlikely that you will hear anybody in the congregation shout, Hallelujah! If somebody did, you'd nearly fall off your chair. But I remember a day when the blessing of God was on this wee land of ours, and when the preacher was preaching, many couldn't contain themselves. Such was the joy within their soul at what they were hearing. And they would shout out, Hallelujah! Well, here's a joyful shout brought about by the return of Christ. There'll be a shout in heaven on that day, as well as a shout on earth. Do you ever get excited about your faith in Christ? Do you? I'll tell you this. Millions cheer football teams, or boxers, or sportsmen and women of all sorts. Oh, they get so excited! How many get excited that they're on their way to heaven, that by the grace of God they have escaped hell? Because I tell you, that's something to be really excited about. That which excites the world is a trivial thing. It'll only last for a short time. But the fact that we're saved from sin is something that will never end. I tell you, that's something to be excited about. That's why when the Lord returns, there'll be a shout, a joyful shout. That's what the word means. The joyful noise means a triumphant shout. This word in the Hebrew is translated here. There's one Hebrew word, make a joyful noise. That's one Hebrew word. Well, it appears in other parts of the Old Testament. For instance, in the book of Joshua, you remember when they marched round the city of Jericho? And then after they had marched round the number of times God required of them, they were to give a great shout. Same word. Same word. They were to make a joyful noise. Why? Because God was about to give them the victory. And even as they shouted, the victory was given. And the walls sunk down into the ground. I think I should stress that. I don't think the walls just fell out the way houses collapse in an earthquake. Just a heap of rubble. If that happened, you still couldn't get into Jericho. In fact, it would be even more difficult climbing out over the stones and all the rest of it, for the walls were massive. No, I believe God just made walls sink down into the ground. And the top of the wall came right down and was level, so you walked straight in. Nothing to oppose you. The same word is used in Ezra chapter 3, the verse 11, when at the laying of the foundation of the new temple, it had been destroyed by the Babylonians some 70, 80 years previously, and now they were laying the foundations, those who had returned from captivity to Jerusalem, which lay in ruins to a very large degree, and they were building again the temple. And when they laid the foundation stone, they made a joyful noise. They shouted with joy at this progress, at this step forward, at this sign and evidence of God mercifully beginning to restore them. It also appears in verse 1 of Psalm 47, and that's a psalm which celebrates the rule of Christ on the earth. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. That same word appears there in the verse 1 of that psalm I just read to you, verse 2. It appears in Psalm 66 and the verse 1. And again, the millennial reign is referred to in the verses 3 and 4. I'm striving thus to indicate to you that the psalmist here in verse 1, make a joyful noise, he's calling for a shout of victory. And with the best will in the world, boys and girls, as we look out on the world today, it would be hard to shout in victory. And it would be impossible for us to expect the worldly person to make a joyful noise, a victorious noise, a triumphant noise concerning the Lord Jesus. The world hates the gospel. And even at this very time, every effort is made in Parliament to silence the voice of the gospel preacher. Restrictions are brought in against open-air preaching because the world hates the gospel and it's not going to make a joyful noise. Man cannot, and here we come to the final point, man cannot be happy while in rebellion against the Lord. I want to stress this to you today. If you're not saved, You're in rebellion against the Lord, and you cannot be happy. You might deceive yourself. You might seek out amusements that will, for a moment or two, lift your heart, make you forget your real state, your true state, so that you cast off for a moment the unhappiness that you're in. Do you know what the word amusement means? And if you break it down, you will see its meaning. For instance, right in the middle of the word is a little phrase or little word, muse. Do you know what to muse is to do? Well, that's what you're doing now. Because I've asked you a question and you're thinking about it. That's musing. That's your mind turning over and thinking, what does he mean? What is he getting at? That's musing. The first letter of the word amuse carries the meaning that it has in the word antichrist. It means against, opposed to. So when we get amusement, we're speaking about that which stops you thinking, stops you pondering. And when people go out into this world and seek amusement, you know why they're seeking it? To stop them thinking of their true state before God. That's why people switch on music. People go to the cinema. People go to the dance. People go to the pub. All to try and hide the fact that they're lost sinners going to hell. And in the congregation, as the preacher is preaching, he's very conscious of the fact that in the pews there will be those trying hard not to listen to what he's saying, trying to avoid thinking about what he's saying. They'll be seeking some amusement. Their mind will be occupied as best they can with what they're going to do when they get out of the meeting, what they'll do tomorrow, what they did yesterday. That's musing upon those things that will block out all thoughts of the gospel. And that's how it is with the world today. The world today can't be happy because it's in rebellion against God. It doesn't want to think, to know, to hear anything of God. The history of the world is a history of fears and misery. Man was created back in the Garden of Eden in a state of perfect joy. Perfect joy. We can't even begin to understand what that means. Because even the Christian today doesn't enjoy perfect joy. Because there is still within us sin working against us. The Shorter Catechism, question 17, says that the fall of man into sin brought him into an estate of sin and misery. And that's how it is in the world. That's why the world needs amusement. It's in a state of sin and misery. Those who are in sin will for all eternity be sad. God's place of eternal judgment is a place of tears. A place of tears. And at this moment, those who died without Christ are weeping in a fashion we can't understand. They are now reaping the full harvest of sorrow that sin brings. Oh, boys and girls, it's only in the Lord Jesus that you will find joy. And repentance and faith in Christ will bring joy. David in Psalm 51 spoke about the joy of God's salvation. And I would seek to just endorse what he said and say that since 1964, I have known times of joy. And I anticipate joyfully eternal joy in heaven. There's only joy found with the Lord, the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. You'll never find it anywhere else, boys and girls. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus. Indeed, it's an interesting thing that heaven itself is called the joy of the Lord. We'll close with a wee look at Matthew chapter 25, the verse 21 of that chapter 25. And here we have the Saviour speaking, telling a parable. Verse 21, Matthew 25 says, And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what heaven is, the place where the joy of God is experienced in its fullness. Think of God with all His power. He who made the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe. And that in a moment. That's His power. Well, that same power He will exercise in making His people happy for all eternity. How great will be that happiness produced by all the power of God. Our little efforts to make ourselves happy, they don't last too long. The laughter soon dies. The joy soon disappears. But when God makes someone happy, they're happy forever. And they're happy to the very fullness of their being. I say again that this psalm, with its opening verse, a call to the world to give a joyful shout to God, is a psalm that one day will reach its full meaning, the day when Christ returns. And the fact that you have the psalmist away back, 3,000 years ago at least, anticipating that day, and encouraging others to think about that day. And God's people ever since have been thinking about that day when all the world will give a joyful shout to God. It's something, therefore, that we should contemplate today, the coming of the Lord, and the joyful change that will be made in this world when He comes. Oh, boys and girls, listen to God's word today. Obey the gospel. Be saved. Let's bow in prayer. We ask Thee, Lord, for Your blessing today. We thank Thee for Your mercy. We thank Thee for the words of the Bible, and that we can today study and read and take them in and obey them. Grant that that will be so here. Bless the school with all its needs in every department, pupil and staff and parents at home, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.